Good morning, everyone. We've been having a wonderful time here before I just returned the quarter on, but I'm Mark Parsons, pastor of Great Hope Christian Fellowship Church here in Tampa. And it was on my heart today to share with you about asking the question, are you fretting less and resting more? And I really hope that is the case. I'm not the person I used to be. I know how I used to be. I know how I used to do things and think things. And that's how I was. Praise God. Was can be a great testimony. But who I am now is not the same person I used to be. Therefore, are you fretting less and resting more? It should be. You should be able to answer that and say, most assuredly, I'm at much more rest than I used to be, and God's still working on me. I'm still being hammered, and I'm still on the turning wheel, and He's the potter, and I'm the clay. It's still going on, but I'm not the same person I used to be. And I want to share this with you. Let's look at this, and you're taking home here today, and you'll get an idea, a good flavor of what we're looking at here. Jesus made a most profound invitation to all mankind when he said that famous word, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I mean, why not take him up on it? I think sometimes we don't, or mankind hasn't, or I didn't in my earlier life because I felt that I had a better way. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Sounds like a classroom situation. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find what? Can we say that together? You shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. How many of you that may be listening, those of you that are here today, as a Christian, a bona fide, sold out lover of Jesus Christ, have not been at rest every day of your life, but you've experienced turbidity and trouble and consternation and trials and anger and all kinds of confusion, a lot of things, even as a Christian? Well, when Jesus said, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden burden, it wasn't just like for that day. Salvation is a daily, moment by moment relationship with the living God where we can experience rest daily. You could forfeit it if you want because you have a free will on any given day. Today, time out. I'm going to set the rest aside. I want to fret a little bit. I want to say some things. I want to vent. And so you have time out. You do that. You're sorry. You repent because you are God's child. He convicts you. That's wrong. And so you come back hopefully stronger than ever before, trusting God this time more than you ever did before to really do it His way. So we can forfeit rest. We can go and fret all we want. We can have all the fear we want. Satan is willing and ready to oblige us in that arena. But what was on my heart with this was, I hope there is a pilgrim's progress here, not a pilgrim's digress. It's a progress. And so I thank God that I see progress. I see it in your testimonies. I saw it living up here just a little bit ago. That's progress. That's awesome. That's hallelujah. A soul stands up and shares something with us, you know, on the subject of fear, and yet had some fears about even doing that. And so trusting God, I saw the trust come out. How many of you saw the trust come out in what you heard here a little bit ago in Michelle? Did you see the trust come out of trusting God? And she was standing up here. I did. And I hope you did too. I was about ready to shout hallelujah, you know, because I saw it. I saw it evolve and manifest is awesome. And so we all have fears to overcome. come unto me, let's deal with it, or not. Come unto me, let's deal with it, or not. Come unto me, you get the rest, you don't, you can fret. But are you fretting less and resting more? That should be the case. And so, as we grow and mature in a life, in the second paragraph, as we grow and mature in a life imparting and spirit-led relationship, not religion, with Jesus Christ, the old man, with all the old ways, bad habits, worldly mindset, and ideologies must become things of the past, must become things of the past, and dead to us. We must let go and let God enable us to fret less and rest more in Him. Boy, hallelujah. Boy, howdy. That is awesome. In the sight of God, to see a child of His grow. We see our children grow. We see them learn things. They go from stuttering and stammering to being able to read. To actually put it all together and read. It is amazing to see them do the phonics and have all the little letters together, and all of a sudden they're starting putting all the phonics together to say the word ed, said, and they go on from that word, and they learn to do them all, and they're reading a little short sentence. It's just incredible to see that happen, and it is a process. It is a process. The Lord connects the dots, and He wants you to go from dot to dot, but let Him connect them. It's a process. You don't learn it overnight. None of us, I don't care what you learn or what you know or how hot you are with the Lord, nobody will ever be above somebody else. He that is greatest among you, let him be what? Servant of all. Nobody is the big deal. You know who the big deal is? Jesus. I'm going to ask that question again. Let's all say it like we really know who the big deal is. Okay? Do you know who the big deal is? His name is
Jesus.
Now the world ain't going to like you saying that. The world might one day lock you up. Like other countries, they locking up the Jesus freaks, so to speak. They locking them up. And they want them silenced. They don't want them incorporated in their society, in their gods, in their ways. This Jesus doesn't fit. Well, that quite often was the case in history over and over again. Today, the Lord is wanting us to become followers of Him. We're called Christians, Christ-like, followers of Jesus, not doing your thing anymore. Not following after what you think anymore, but Shirley had said earlier when we were doing our worship songs, we are His slaves, but that is meant in the most endearing way. I can associate being a slave of Jesus Christ, but if you're not a slave of Jesus Christ, you will be a slave of someone. Amen. So you just won't make up your mind. A servant to that person, so to speak. One or the other, we need to be manifesting, our devotion to the God of this world or to Jesus Christ Himself. So there won't be any fence people serving some other neutral God. You either serve a living God or you don't. Someone has said, a dead man doesn't get hurt. You can go to the morgue. Do what you want to anybody in there. Do what you want. You can crack jokes. You can crack ethnic jokes at them. You can poke them. You can prick them. You can try to attack them mentally. You can try to attack them spiritually. You can try to attack them physically. And they will not respond. That meant a lot to me several years ago when I heard that several times. A dead man doesn't get hurt. And I'm listening to this person say that and I'm saying, wow, so I'm hurting. I'm still alive. And we're to be dead to ourself. We're to be alive in Christ, but dead to self. So when self gets hurt and you want to go have your pity party, then you're still alive. It's not necessarily that's something wrong or that's bad. It's just that God, through the Holy Spirit, is going to convict you that we need some work there. If you're open to that, then He's going to keep telling you that until we deal with putting some balm on that wound, of dealing with that situation until there's healing. He's not going to back off. The doctor's not going to back off and say, okay, well, it looks pretty good to me. Well, he'd be a liar if there's all full of infection and everything else in a wound. He said, we're going to have to debris that. How many of you ever been to a situation where you had wounds and they go have, you have to go in and they say, you look and just tell it like it is. This is going to hurt before it gets better. And so they go in and they pour all kinds of, you know, antibiotics on it and peroxides and whatever. I had a scrape one time. I got scraped real good on a basketball court, outside court, and the old coach is in there. I got the little first aid kit, and I got a big old scrape on my leg, and he said, man, this stuff's pretty potent, so hold on. And it was more powerful than methylate or anything else. I said, whoa, that lit me up. But it hurt bad. But he was debris-ing it, and, you know, I got it scraped on the basketball court outside, dirt and grime and everything, all kind of germs. And so the Lord loves us so much that He will debris what the debris that is there needs to be cleansed. It needs to be purged, and that sometimes is very, very painful. Linda, I believe you and Shirley have been around burn patients. I know someone who had to have the debris from being burned. Very, very, very sensitive to the nerves. Very, 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 very painful. But afterwards, if we hang in there, it will yield the peaceful fruit of righteousness. It'll be a good day. The clouds will pass. It'll be a good day after we deal with some things that have to be dealt with. A dead man doesn't get hurt. How many of you have been hurt lately? I mean, you've really been hurt. Don't lie. Shirley and I sometimes, my wife will have a conversation, and all of a sudden there's a little ouch. And we don't intend ever to hurt one another, but there's an ouch there. Where are you going with this? Ouch. Well, I really wasn't going anywhere with it. How are you taking it? Mm-hmm. Well, the look on your face was I was responding to an ouch because the way you looked. So how did I look? But how many of you know that a little look can go a long way and really hurt? And all you're finding out, all you're discovering is something wonderful. You're still alive someplace. Even if they meant to hurt you. Love does not take into account, not your love, God's love, a wrong suffered. We said that before. I ain't going to wear it out either. You can't wear it out. Love doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. So even if they meant to hurt you and you felt the ouch, you still are alive. You still got something kicking there. You want to resurrect after you've been crucified. How can that happen to a Christian who loves Jesus Christ with all their heart? How can these little imps, how can these little foxes come in and do so much damage to this big old fortress of a man of God or a woman of God? The devil is sneaky. Mm-hmm. He is one sly jokester of all jokester. He is the father of all lies. He's the originator of all lies. Not God. Satan is the father of all lies. He is good at what he does. Mm-hmm. He does it through deception. I don't know about you, but I'm just talking about me. I do not like it when I continue to live to things regarding the flesh that should be dead. I don't like it. And I'm determined I'm not going to jump off the table of sacrifice. I'm not going to jump off. If I do, if I slip off, I'm going to get right back up there because you're not going to grow until you do. You will not grow until you are dead to a situation that needs to be addressed. You're not going to grow. you're going to be hindered. You're going to be lame. You're not going to let that wound heal. You don't want anybody to debris it, so you're just going to let it metastasize and let it spread and all over the place. And how many times have you ever heard of a situation where a doctor said, well, if you would have dealt with this a month ago, we wouldn't be talking about this. We wouldn't be here with you screaming. But now that you let it go, now we got to really deal with it. And Jesus says, come unto me. Come unto me, come unto me, come unto me. And while we're still walking away from him, he's saying, come to me. While we're walking away. The prodigal son was walking away. The father was standing there. When you're ready, I'll be standing here. But I can't chase you down. Not against your will. I've shared this before, but it's a great illustration. How many ever saw the movie The Horse Whisperer?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you saw that or not, but a horse was involved in a horrible accident. It was in a horse trailer, and this person was out on the highway. They had an accident, and the horse got tore all up. The horse became very, very different horse. He lived, but he was scarred, and he was emotionally, as an animal can be, he was very frightened and terrified now, and the girl wanted to take him to a place in Montana where Robert Redford was a horse whisperer, and to see if he could work with this horse. The horse was so strong-willed and rebelling against the training to be healed. The horse one day was in the corral, and the horse says, I'm out of here. The horse jumps over the corral and just takes off running way, way out into the plain. And Robert Redford just stood there and just watched the horse go. And then it shows scenes, little by little. The one scene shows the horse coming back a little bit, and Robert Redford just standing there. In the next scene, the horse comes back a little bit further. The next scene, the horse comes back. The horse comes all the way up to him, and Robert Redford, being the horse whisperer, the trainer, he walks up, and he just touches the horse. He didn't run after him, but he came back. And Robert Redford was able to work with that horse and restore that horse. That horse's confidence, that horse's relationship with people, and in this movie, particular movie, had a good ending. He was able to restore the horse. But you can't work with somebody that doesn't want to be worked with. They got the stallion attitude. I'm out of here. Bam! Gone. Well, go. And you can go and you can run, but you can't hide, and you're out of here, and Jesus says, come unto me. You know, when you're ready, come unto me. Well, I'm not ready yet. Okay, come unto me, I'm not ready yet. Okay, come unto me, I'm not ready yet. Okay, well, one day, your flight's going to come in, and you're going to be downtown at the bus station. Location is everything. You can have trouble as a Christian. You can have trials and bad habits that you're trying to overcome. But you do not have to run from the Lord in that process. You stay with Him. You stand and see His salvation to help you, enable you to be able to do a battle with the enemy like we just saw up here on the screen. You'll be ready. You won't be a domesticated wimp, not able to fight the adversary. You'll be ready. You'll be equipped. You'll have all the stuff that a SEAL has. You'll have all the stuff that special forces have. You'll have all the technology. You'll have all the backup. You'll have all the radar technology. You'll have all the intelligence. You'll have things that we don't even know of available to you to be successful in the battlefield. Amen. To me, if I was a soldier, boots on the ground, and I was out to be doing a mission, I would really want to be with a country that is supporting me and I'm not all alone. So we're boots on the ground, so to speak, as God's church, but we are not without support. All the angels in heaven above are at our disposal. Now, I didn't share it last week, but it was in your handout. You had a situation here where Elijah was surrounded on the mountainside with his enemies. I gave that to you to read. We didn't talk about, elaborate on that, but you are not alone. And so the king of Aram was coming after Elijah. So here he was, up there with his servant. The servant wakes up in the morning, the whole mountainside is full of the enemy. The whole mountainside is full of the enemy that is after him to destroy him, because he keeps revealing secrets to the king of Jerusalem of what the enemy is doing. And Elijah prayed. What did he pray? What did Elijah pray for his servant to see? He said, Lord, open his eyes that he can see. What he was saying was, open his eyes, he can see what I see. This is incredible, Elijah. All the miracles that he saw, you know, it's just absolutely incredible. Give me a double portion, Elijah. He said, well, that's not up to me, but if you see me leaving and you observe all that and you see all that, then you'll have a double portion of my spirit. And he sure did. He took up Elijah's mantle and he struck the Jordan water and the waters departed and he saw a lot of things. But here it is. These were not shallow words that Elijah said. He said to his servant, alas, my master, what shall we do? Talk about fear, Michelle. Alas, what shall we do? What shall we do? The mountain is full of the enemy. And Elijah said, do not fear, for those that are with us are more than those that are with them. And when the servant opened his eyes after Elijah prayed for his eyes to be opened, the whole mountainside was full of the chariots of God and fire. The whole mountainside. So here you have physical chariots of the enemy, and here you have God's chariots. The whole mountainside was full of the chariots and the fire of God. I mean, this is not a fairy tale. Nancy, this happened. This is history. For us, all these years later, to read and to ruminate and digest and say, yes, God has all the resources available to us, us special forces on this earth, His church. God has all these resources available. And these angels appeared at different times in many different places. The angels of God. I have not ever seen this manifestation in my life. But I wouldn't mind seeing it. But I don't need to see it to believe it.
Amen.
I don't need to hear, do not fear, 365 times. If he only said it once, I believe it. If Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, and come unto me, and he said to all these other, come, follow me. If he only said it once, I have come to him. I believe it. I own it. I want to live it. So all the heavenly hosts of God are available for us here today. He didn't say angels were done away with. There's been some powerful testimonies about people saying there's no way this could happen without assistance from God in some way. Angels appeared in the New Testament announcing to Mary and coming and going over and over again. Bringing messages. Gabriel, Michael, active. These people are still available for God's people here today. We don't worship them. We don't bow down to them. They're God's beings available for us here today. I just wanted to share it with you. I let you take it home, but I didn't talk about that mountainside being full of the chariots of God and the fire of God. And so greater is He that's with us, man. Open his eyes, God, that he can see what I see. He opened his eyes and whoa! The whole mountainside. The enemy was defeated. Needless to say, a dead man doesn't get hurt. The last paragraph down here on the left-hand side, I might add, neither does a dead man fret, worry, doubt, and fear, nor is he anxious for anything. In fact, as believers, we are to have this confession, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. We have the Spirit of God, y'all. Little Southern. The Spirit of God is not Southern or like a Boston accent. The Spirit of God is for all of us. All languages, all people, for all time. Those who've accepted Him and receive the Spirit of God. David spoke these words to God's people and said, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him and He will do it. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Remember, we can experience rest through commitment and obedience to Jesus Christ, or we can fret do to doubt, fear, and unbelief, what do you choose? What do you choose today? Who are you going to walk with today? What are you going to do, whatever it is, to do on your schedule today? Who are you going to do it with?
Big JC.
You have to make a commitment to walk with Him today, and you will succeed. If not, you have the free will to fret. You have the free will to do what you want to do. I love that. I love that, that we have a free will. As for me and my house, though,
we serve the Lord.
Say it, Nancy. As for me and my house,
we will serve the Lord.
A little louder, like you really want to own that thing.
We will serve the Lord.
I thank God for you. I thank God for the effort in your heart to really want to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can we say that together? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to share something with you, and you can please check this out in Psalm 37. It'll tell you over and again, do not fret, do not fear, do not fret, do not fear. Psalm 37. Rest is what God has for us. Rest. Rest, rest, rest. I'm going to close by sharing something with you that really stimulated my heart to share about this today. And that was Oswald Chambers. On July the 4th, I think a day after a brother in here's birthday. July 3rd?
Yes.
Yeah. One of God's great don'ts. This is one of God's great don'ts. And it's based on Psalm 37 too. And you can read that later. Fret not thyself, it tends only to evil doing.
Amen.
Fret not yourself. It's going somewhere. It's going to get you in a train wreck. Not trusting God for what He has done for us and the life that He gave. Not trusting Him has consequences. Trusting Him will lead to rest and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Train wreck awaits those who don't. Fretting means getting out at elbows, mentally or spiritually. It is one thing to say, follow me on this, please. It's one thing to say, fret not, but a very different thing to have such a disposition that you find yourself able not to fret.
Amen.
Wow. It's one thing to say, fret not. It's another thing to find yourself not even able to fret under very dire circumstances. Do we have a testimony here today? I'm not asking anyone particularly to say something. I'm just saying, do we have a testimony here today where you have said in your heart, I was faced with a situation where I would really, really do some things about this. But this time, I'm not even able to fret. I'm not able to worry. I'm not even fearing what I used to fear. What's going on, God? What are you doing to me? And the Lord says, I'm setting you free. Lord, what are you doing? I want you to rest. Lord, what's going on? I ain't the same dude I used to be. I'm teaching you to trust me so you don't have to fret anymore. That's what I'm doing. That's who I am. That's my name. I'm God of salvation. I've sent Jesus, Yahshua HaMashiach, to set you free. He died. He gave it to be crucified to the flesh, but alive in Him. That's what it's all about. Oh, really? And you now you're experiencing it. God, I'm experiencing it. I'm getting to know you more. He says, yes, that's what I want, relationship. Now you get it. Now you got it. Now you're getting it. It sounds so easy to talk about resting in the Lord and waiting patiently for Him until the nest is upset. Until we live as so many are doing in tumult and anguish, is it possible then to rest in the Lord? Now, sometimes playing with Adeline, my little granddaughter who's 4 and a half almost, I will do a little block playing with her, and we'll make a little tower, and we'll see how high we can go. We put them all together. And it's pretty high. And a little 4.5-year-old kid, smack, knocks the whole thing over. I'm just saying, does that stir up a little emotion? Because you built this little tower and she watched you and she's building her little Mickey Mouse thing and you're building yours and she knocks it over? And it says, it sounds so easy to talk about resting in the Lord, oh rock of ages. You know, you're out there playing with that, you had a wonderful time, and you're just doing something innocent, and all of a sudden, bam! And it says, it sounds so easy to talk about resting in the Lord and waiting patiently for Him until the nest is upset. Is it possible still to rest in the Lord? You shouldn't care whether she knocks it over 10 times. But if she has an attitude of knocking over something she shouldn't knock over, now that has to be addressed too. Honey, you don't do that. We're being constructive here, not destructive. So there's two sides to that coin. But if she's just playing, we've got to discern in the moment what to do, how to react, whether there's correction or leave it alone. Or laugh or cry or what? So the Lord sees that in us. Oh boy. This don't fret thyself must work in days of perplexity as well as in days of peace, or it never will. How many of you know sometimes a week can, or a day can get, or an hour can get, or a minute can get perplexed? Kind of perplex. If I say this, then that's going to happen. If I don't do that, then this is going to happen. What do they want to hear? How can I say what I think they want me to say? Or what they want to hear? Why not just look to the Lord and do what He wants you to do? And you don't have to worry about what they're thinking or how to respond with what you think they want to hear or any of that stuff. You just look to the Lord. You're accountable to Him. You're His servant. You're His slave. And if it will not work in your particular case, it will not work in anyone else's case. Resting in the Lord does not depend upon external circumstances at all, but on your relationship to God Himself. External circumstances does not depend on whether you have rest or not. How many of you wake up some days and there's a series of things that go wrong? Series of things that go wrong. You get in the car. You're just about, the light is on. You're already past empty, but the light is on. You know, you got some fumes in your tank. And inside, you've already gone down the road several blocks. You left your glasses, and you need them because what you're getting ready, you want to do some reading or whatever. You don't have your glasses. You forgot your phone. And all kinds of things just be a chain reaction. And there's no rest. There's no peace. And the Lord says, remember this. Come unto Me. All you that are laden, heavy burden, I will give you rest. Now? Hell here in Dale Mabry? Now? In Atlanta traffic? With this snow and ice and all these cars wrecking and crashing, you want me to have rest? Do you know where I am, Lord? No, I never thought about that. Yeah. God sees it all. Fussing away always ends in sin. We imagine that a little anxiety and worry are an indication of how really wise we are. It is much more an indication of how really wicked we are. Fretting springs from a determination to get our own way. Our Lord never worried and He was never anxious because He was not out to realize His own ideas. He was out to realize God's ideas. Fretting is wicked if you are a child of God. This is so powerful. Have you been bolstering up that stupid soul of yours with the idea that your circumstances are too much for God? Put all supposing on one side and dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. Deliberately tell God that you will not fret about anything. And our fret and worry is caused by calculating without God. I hope today that some of the things that we have been saying stick in all of our hearts, including the speaker, that we will go out and grow in the grace of God and be able to answer the question, are you fretting less and resting more? Remember, we can experience rest through commitment and obedience to Jesus Christ, or we can fret due to doubt, fear, and unbelief. What do you choose? That's the question. What do you choose today? Your peace, your rest does not depend upon the actions of somebody else, or our president, or the mayor of the city, or how well or sick your car is, or how well or sick you are or are not. Relationship with Jesus Christ is to be unhindered, reckless devotion, regardless of the circumstances. I think we all have a lot to learn. I think we all need to stay in class and come back for not fretting, 102, and resting more, 103. And there's all upper levels, too. There's doctorates in these classes. There's continuing ed. Father, we thank you for this day. I pray that this message today will be helpful to all of us, those who may be listening on the internet or those who are here today. I do pray that if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are in imminent danger and heading toward a tremendous disaster in your life. Misery, despair without Jesus Christ. I invite you to come to know Him as your Lord and Savior. If you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Amen. There is no other name that has been given to mankind on this earth, other than the name of Jesus Christ by which we can be saved. There is no other name. So, ask God to manifest Himself to you. If you seek Him, you will find Him. If you don't, you won't. Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.